This is an ABC podcast.
Good morning and welcome to AM. I'm Sabra Lane. On today's program, coronavirus shutdown. Drastic new measures to slow the pandemic will tell you which places will close and which will stay open. The health crisis is ringing economic alarm bells, and already people are losing their jobs and worrying about how they'll support their families.
I've got about 3 weeks' worth of money left in my bank account. I'm a father of five. I'm sole income earner for the family. I feel like I've let my family down.
Life as we know it changes today as the federal government moves to further restrict the movement of people to contain the spread of the coronavirus. From midday, places where people gather, like bars, restaurants and gyms, will close indefinitely. Some state borders are closing and differences are emerging between the states about what they're doing in regards to keeping schools open or closed, and we'll run you through those details in a minute. The Prime Minister says the extra measures are regrettable, but a result of Australians not taking this situation seriously. Isabel Rowe joins me now to go through some of the details. Isabel, which businesses will have to close today?
So the businesses that need to close are what the Prime Minister is doing to try and restrict the places of gathering. So the list is this: registered and licensed pubs and clubs and bars in hotels will have to close, entertainment venues, cinemas, casinos and nightclubs. Restaurants and cafes will be restricted to takeaway only, indoor sporting venues, and that includes gyms and places of worship. So technically everything that's not on that list can remain open. So for example, supermarkets and bottle shops and chemists, they will remain open. Clothing stores, beauty salons, hairdressers, nail places, for example, shopping centres. So these measures are intended to disperse people. It's not a lockdown like we've seen in places like Italy, but it is a strong message to keep away from other people, as the Prime Minister Scott Morrison explained last night.
What we're doing is closing down gatherings in pubs and clubs and things of that nature. We are not putting in place lockdowns that put people and confine them to their home. That is not a measure that is being contemplated at this point. And so there is no reason for anyone to do that.
Isabel, there is some confusion around school closures. Is there any clarity on that this morning?
There is some clarity. So the health advice is that schools can remain open, but some states are making their own decisions here. So the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, says they will shut schools from tomorrow for the rest of term. And he's flagged the potential to keep schools closed next term and move to online learning after the holidays, should that advice change. The New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, says that schools can remain open for those who need it, but she is encouraging parents who can to keep their children at home now and use online learning. So here she is speaking this morning.
For practical reasons, in New South Wales, we'll be encouraging parents to keep their children at home to ensure there is one single unit of teaching. Already last week, we had up to 30% of parents who chose to keep their students or their children at home, and we appreciate and anticipate that number will increase. For practical reasons, we are encouraging parents to keep their students at home.
So to clarify what Premier Gladys Berejiklian is saying there, she's saying parents who aren't able to do homeschooling, they can send their child to school. No child will be turned away from school.
For those parents that have no option, that are workers, schools will remain open for their children to be supervised in that online learning environment. But for teachers, it means one unit of teaching. There won't be a separate class for kids at home. There won't be a separate class for kids that are at school. It'll be one unit of teaching, which makes it simple and practical. And that is the strongest advice we can provide to parents today.
Gladys Berejiklian speaking there, and just clarifying, for other states, schools remain open. However, you can keep your child at home if you wish. As for next term, that decision will be made later.
Now, Isabel, what about travel between the states?
So borders are closing in a way. Western Australia, South Australia, the Northern Territory and Tasmania will close their borders, meaning that anyone who arrives will have to quarantine themselves for 14 days. That comes into effect at different times. So in WA, the restriction starts at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. In the Northern Territory, that's 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has spoken this morning as well about cracking down on rules on social distancing and staying away from pubs and clubs. He's announced a 500-strong police task force to enforce the coronavirus rules. Here he is speaking in Melbourne.
In some respects, it is disappointing that it has come to this. But we've seen people on beaches in Sydney. We could just as easily have seen pictures of people in bars and cafes and restaurants and nightclubs here in Melbourne and right across Victoria. It's unacceptable. It will cost lives.
That's the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, and before him, our reporter, Isabel Rowe. Meanwhile, a scaled-back federal parliament resumes today to pass the government's unprecedented packages to cushion the economic blow from the virus. The measures are aimed at saving as many jobs and businesses as possible as huge parts of the economy shut down. But many people have already found themselves out of work and needing help. Here's political reporter Jade McMillan.
Single mother Carmen Williams has four kids, and she's just been told she's losing all of her shifts at a Melbourne retail store.
I was like annoyed, aggravated, and then sad, and then conflicted, and then like, what am I going to do?
She's one of many Australians who'll be forced to rely on the welfare system to get their families through an economic crisis.
I prefer working, to be honest, and showing my kids that you can do anything to support your family, so... Yeah. So, four kids, just me and my own. I rent, car loan, try to pay the bills.
The federal government says it's supercharging the safety net as part of a $66 billion support package. People on the JobSeeker payment, formerly known as Newstart, will get an extra $550 a fortnight for 6 months. Casuals and sole traders earning less than $1,075 a fortnight will also be eligible for the supplement. That's some good news for Gold Coast production manager and lighting designer Steve Alberts, whose work has completely dried up.
I've got about 3 weeks' worth of money left in my bank account. I'm a father of five. I have three that live at home. I'm sole income earner for the family.
Steve has picked up a couple of shifts stacking supermarket shelves, but hasn't heard anything back from the 17 other jobs he's applied for so far.
This isn't anybody's fault. As a parent, I have to take that on board and go, don't blame yourself. I feel like I've let my family down. I really do feel like I've let my family down.
The government hopes to save some jobs by giving small and medium-sized businesses cash payments of between $20,000 and $100,000. Some have welcomed the move, but as social distancing restrictions keep tightening, many could struggle to survive. On the New South Wales South Coast, businesses had been counting on a busy Easter period after a devastating summer of bushfires. Alan Harvey runs a cafe near Nowra.
I mean, I'm kind of lost for words. Flabbergasted, I suppose, is a great term, because the punches keep rolling and the information changes so rapidly.
Businesses like his will be front of mind when politicians return to Canberra today in limited numbers to pass the measures through Parliament as quickly as possible.
Jade McMillan with that report. Matthias Cormann is the Finance Minister. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Some Australians still don't believe the risks. They think shutdowns, this is all media hype. Will today's shutdown send them a signal that this is really dangerous?
This is not media hype. This is very, very serious. I mean, the mission is to slow down the spread of this virus, to save lives. We want to ensure that our health system can appropriately prioritize our most vulnerable, who might be impacted by this virus over the next few weeks and months. We will not be able to stop the spread of this virus, but we can slow it down, and we need every Australian to help in that effort.
Do we need to be explicit? Does the government need to be explicit to say, stay home, stop socialising, you'll save lives. If you go out, you could possibly be killing someone.
Well, we're being extremely explicit, and you know, obviously as the situation has evolved, the measures have continued to strengthen. I mean, we would like to think that Australians have received the message and that common sense will prevail. If common sense does not prevail, if the evidence is that these messages are still not getting through, then the National Cabinet and the government, based on medical advice, will continue to make ever tougher decisions.
Were you prepared to shut everything down?
Well, look, I'm not going to preempt or speculate on these things. We will continue to listen to the medical advice, but the clear message is this is very serious. We need all Australians to help help slow down the spread of this virus to save Australian lives.
Is the different messaging from the states on schools confusing people?
Well, look, we're working through the National Cabinet to take a coordinated approach. The advice and the consensus position is that schools should remain open. I mean, that is should be available as an option for parents. We respect the right of parents to make decisions in relation to their children, but parents should also have the option of sending kids to school, which is the safest place for them to be. Now,
states are behaving differently and sending different messages.
Confusing. So Victoria has brought forward the end of the term. I mean, there was a holiday period due in any event. I mean, look, we will continue to act on the medical advice. Our very clear message is that nothing has changed in relation to schools. Schools remain open today. They should remain open. And based on the advice in front of us as we speak, it is the best place for kids to be. And it's the best place from a public health point of view for our kids to be.
The economic challenge that this is causing, is it the greatest since the Great Depression?
This is a one in a 100-year event. I mean, the last pandemic of this sort of magnitude was 1918 to 1920, and the economic implications are clearly massive. It's quite devastating, and we believe it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the important point here is it will get better. Our mission in an economic sense is to keep as many businesses in business, as many Australians in jobs as possible, to provide the appropriate levels of support to those Australians who lose their job, boosting the job seeker payment, the New Start allowance, nearly doubling it, effectively doubling it. We want to ensure that businesses and Australian workers are there for the strong recovery on the other side.
Is it fair to say that these are more survival payments rather than stimulus payments? And will the government adopt a whatever-it-takes attitude to keep people going?
Well, we will do what needs to be done. We will do what it takes to provide the appropriate levels of support. You're quite right. I mean, this is now the phase that we're in is a massively enhanced safety net to cushion the economy, to cushion Australians to the best of our ability. This is well beyond stimulus now. This is about providing a safety net for Australians.
The Prime Minister said yesterday you're working on a third package. How long before that comes in? Or are you going to now sort of sit back and see how things progress?
Well, look, we continue to review information and data as it comes through, develop new proposals and new measures to provide appropriate levels of support. We'll continue to make decisions. I mean, obviously today, the Parliament will be legislating a very significant coronavirus economic response package with a whole range of measures supporting business, supporting households, we expect will be supported by the Parliament in a very unified fashion. But we continue to work.
Labor's suggested some amendments. Will you listen and will you act on those amendments?
Well, I haven't seen any amendments from Labor. We had a very good meeting with Anthony Albanese and the Labor leadership yesterday. If suggestions are made, we'll always consider them. But when it's all said and done, we're very confident that all parties in the Parliament will come together to support this very important economic response package. We don't believe that this will be an issue in the end.
You talked about a strengthened safety net. $1,100 over a fortnight still may not be enough for some families. We just heard from a father of five who's going to find it difficult making his mortgage repayments. What are you going to do to help with mortgage repayments and with rent?
Well, in relation to mortgage repayments, I believe that the banks are considering what further actions they might take. They've been magnificent in relation to small business. And I know that Anna Bligh, the CEO of the ABA, has already indicated that they will review what might be possible there. I mean, we would like to think that there is going to be the capacity there to provide relief to families with their mortgage repayments. In terms of our support, the income support payment, the booster job seeker payment, is only part of the equation. I mean, once you are in that on that payment, you can get access to other payments like rental assistance, family tax benefit payments and the like. So it does go broader.
All right. The panic buying hasn't stopped. People aren't adhering to the social distancing in supermarkets. What are you going to do about that? Is rationing a possibility? Should supermarkets limit access to people? We've got Professor John O'Dwyer saying they should do that.
Well, we hope that that's not going to be required ultimately. I mean, we'll continue to send very strong and very clear messages into the community. And, you know, we're all in this together. And we want all Australians to be on the other side, taking advantage of the strong recovery on the other side. And, you know, we've got to work through this challenging period together.
Okay. Matthias Cormann, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Always good to talk to you.
Matthias Cormann is the finance minister. The opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, says the economic rescue package has Labor's support to pass Parliament by the end of the day. But the opposition is going to raise some concerns about the measure to allow people to access their superannuation.
It may well be that the government sees some common sense on superannuation, for example. It clearly isn't in the interests of individual superannuants to essentially sell out at the bottom of the market. That would have a negative impact on their retirement incomes, and it would also, of course, have a negative impact potentially on superannuation if super funds have to sell their assets once again at the bottom of the market. We think the government should be stepping in and providing more support for low-income workers.
That's the opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, and he was speaking to RN Breakfast. From today, Australia's major banks will start offering $250,000 loans to small and medium-sized businesses where no repayments will be required for 6 months. The unsecured loans are 50% guaranteed by the federal government and no interest will be charged unless the money is actually used. The Commonwealth Bank is rolling out $10 billion of their special loans to help keep businesses afloat until reaching the other side of the crisis. The CBA's Chief Executive, Matt Comyn, is speaking here with our Senior Business Correspondent, Peter Ryan.
I think the package of measures are very substantial. We certainly think it's going to be a big shot in the arm for small business to know that there's help there to provide certainty and confidence. We're working through a range of different scenarios and what other measures might be required. You will have seen last week we've announced repayment holidays for all of our small business customers, the ability for all of our home loan customers to go on to 6 month repayment holidays as well. And so we're prepared to do whatever it takes to get Australian businesses and all of our customers through a very challenging period.
So for any small business operator listening this morning and worried about their futures, how is this loan package going to work?
So there'll be no fees and the interest rate will be about 4.5%, 5 percentage points lower than it normally would be. And that's because there's a risk-sharing arrangement with the government. We hope that this is going to give businesses the confidence to be able to meet their essential expenses and keep people in jobs and be able to survive and get through the next 6 months when the economy hopefully will be starting to recover, and we want as many of those viable businesses to get through this period.
Looking at this crisis realistically, have you wargamed the reality that some of your customers will go bust through no fault of their own despite this emergency lifeline?
We have, and of course we're trying to make sure that customers who are in very difficult operating conditions completely outside of their control, and we're going to be able to assess their loan and assign capital and price for as if they were in normal operating conditions, which is what we need to be able to do to get businesses through, because on the other side there will be a lot of stimulus, the economy will recover, but it is going to be a very challenging period.
But the reality is, though, that not all will make it to the other side.
Well, there's certainly that risk that not everyone will make it through to the other side, but of course we are incredibly focused on making sure that we get as many viable businesses across through to the other side as we possibly can. The entire industry shares that commitment, and we're committed to making sure that we help all of our customers get through.
Some small business operators already live day to day, and now cash flow will be a problem if consumers are too scared to spend. So confidence and certainty is now more critical by the day.
That's exactly right. We all need to work together. We need to provide businesses and all members of the community with the confidence and certainty that there is going to be prosperous times ahead, but we're going to have to be able to get through a very challenging period with some substantial measures that are likely to come in the coming days that are going to make it a very difficult period for the community as well.
One of the contentious issues in this crisis is whether state governments should shut down schools. To you, does that seem inevitable now?
Increasingly, the news flow would seem to indicate that that's the path that we're going down. Keeping schools open for as long as possible is very helpful because it allows essential services like healthcare workers to be able to get to work. But it's probably inevitable that there's going to be parts of the community that are going to be locked down, potentially for an extended period.
The government's also announced early access in some cases to superannuation superannuation, the retirement nest egg, but is that wise given the strain already on the aged pension system?
It's a relatively small amount over a two-year period. I think that's appropriate, and clearly I do think it is important, though, that people have got a variety of different means and mechanisms to get access to cash, to get them through a period that's been outside of their control. And so I'm supportive of the measure itself, and I think retaining flexibility and just continuing to consider what else needs to be done to help our customers.
Australia's big banks are well capitalised after regulators tightened requirements in the wake of the GFC, but will the coronavirus shock put a strain on the banking system, including the CBA?
There's no doubt that the current situation and the coronavirus will put a strain on all parts of the community and businesses, including the financial system. But as you said, Peter, the Commonwealth Bank has never been in a stronger situation from our balance sheet, capital levels of liquidity and cash. Australia's financial institutions, thankfully, are very strong at this point in time. And we're going to need to use our balance sheets alongside the government and the Reserve Bank to get businesses through to the other side.
As Commonwealth Bank Chief Executive Matt Comyn speaking there with Peter Ryan, you're listening to AM where it is 20 past 8. Russian army medics are on their way to Italy to provide urgent assistance to overwhelmed hospitals as Italy's coronavirus cases climb to 60,000. Dozens of European nations are enforcing more restrictive measures as part of nationwide lockdowns. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel is in quarantine after coming into contact with a doctor who has coronavirus. She had just announced a ban on gatherings of more than two people. Spain has extended a state of emergency, but the World Health Organization's warned that lockdowns alone won't be enough to defeat COVID-19. Here's Europe correspondent Bridget Brennan.
From Russia with love. That's the message emblazoned on military planes leaving Moscow for northern Italy, carrying doctors and vital supplies. Italy has also gratefully accepted medical equipment from Germany. The death toll in Italy is nearing 5,500. Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte has now ordered businesses to close. Only those essential to the supply chain will stay open.
During these harsh days, we're witnessing images and news that hurt us deeply, leaving a mark that will stay in our memory forever, even when this crisis is over.
It's Mother's Day for British families, but the UK government urged people not to visit their parents for fear of exposing them to the virus. Like in Australia, pubs, cafes, restaurants and gyms are shut. Now some parks in London are closing as thousands ignore advice to stay away from crowded areas and remain home. London Mayor Sadiq Khan couldn't have been any clearer.
Unless people stay at home, unless people stop using public transport unless it's essential, unless people stop interacting with each other, more people will die. These are extraordinary times. Please, please, please stop mixing, stay at home.
In Scotland, the government is telling B&Bs to stop accepting bookings, fearing the Highlands could be inundated with people fleeing larger cities. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon.
Life shouldn't feel normal right now. So if your life still feels entirely normal, ask yourself if you are doing the right things.
Spain is now one of the worst hit countries in the world. Yesterday, 400 deaths were recorded. The Netherlands, Greece, France and Germany all reported a surge in the number of deaths and cases. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has gone into quarantine after being treated by a doctor who tested positive for COVID-19. That news came after she announced that only families and people living together will be exempt from new rules in Germany preventing gatherings above two people. But the World Health Organization says lockdowns won't be effective unless there's also rigorous testing. Executive Director Mike Ryan.
When those restrictions, when those movement restrictions and lockdowns are lifted, the danger is that disease will jump back up. We need to actively search for cases of the virus and we need to test every single suspect case.
There is rigorous testing going on in Portugal on a cruise ship docked in Lisbon. 1,300 passengers are being assessed. The Portuguese government says Australians are among those stuck on board. This is Bridget Brennan reporting for AM.
As Australia prepares to put in place sweeping new restrictions on normal life, Americans who've been under stricter conditions for more than a week now have a simple message. Take this seriously. Thousands of workers across the US are now being fired or filing for unemployment benefits as businesses are forced to shut their doors indefinitely. Hospitals in the US are also warning of a major shortage of supplies as coronavirus cases continue to surge. North America correspondent James Glenday reports.
Not sure if you've heard yet, but we are closing after today.
Right across America, businesses have shut their doors with little hope of reopening soon.
When you have no idea how long that will be, how can you predict if you will make it?
Andre Vieira runs a nail salon in Washington, D.C. and says the economic impact of the coronavirus is going to be catastrophic.
Yeah, so we have a team that's 70-plus teammates, including our cleaning crew. And after a lot of deliberations this week, we had to make the very difficult decision of laying everybody off.
It's not a situation she foresaw just 10 days ago when the first social distancing rules were mooted. And she has a simple message for those wondering what's actually in store down under.
What I would say to Australians is, believe it, it's coming.
The sweeping disruption to everyday life initially shocked people here. Supermarket shelves were emptied, some bought guns, and others stocked up on medicine. Now, however, people are trying to adapt to their new lives.
The title of this story is Little Monkey Calms Down.
Many schools are rolling out lessons online. A number of restaurants are offering special home delivery deals, and gyms have put workouts online. In general, things feel a little calmer, at least temporarily.
I think right now we're still seeing the stories of like businesses are shutting down or not, and people are going to be unemployed. I think when the stories shift to the hospitals and to the morgues, when people start seeing that, I think they're going to be waking up to a really awful reality. And I think I do think a sense of panic is going to set in. And that's why I think it's important for us to all stay connected, to talk to friends, to talk to loved ones, even if we can't see them.
Officials across America are scrambling to try to reduce the death toll. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy urged people to care for one another.
We're at war, if that is not apparent already.
While in New York, where four temporary hospitals are being set up and officials are warning they're running low on much-needed medical supplies, the state's governor, Andrew Cuomo, blasted young people for not staying home.
I was in these parks. You would not know that anything was going on. This is just a mistake. It's a mistake. It's insensitive. It's arrogant.
He added that half the state's confirmed cases are aged 18 to 49 and warned even with strict action, things were likely to get worse in April and May. In Washington, this is James Glenday reporting for AM.
Countries in the Pacific are also taking extreme measures. Almost 40 cases have been reported in the region, with the first recorded death on the weekend. With vastly under-resourced health systems, stopping the spread before it can take hold is vital, as our correspondent Natalie Whiting reports.
Papua New Guinea, the biggest Pacific Island nation, is going into lockdown.
We've now declared a nationwide state of emergency. It will come under the power.
The Prime Minister, James Morape, says the state of emergency will be in place for 14 days.
The police commissioner is the controller. He will be the controller.
Domestic flights will be grounded and movement across the country restricted. People are being urged to work from home and schools will go to holidays early. It comes just days after Papua New Guinea confirmed its first case of coronavirus.
This call is not to make anyone panicked. As we speak and as I speak today, there's only one pronounced candidate, and by the grace of God, there is no indicating evidence of an expansion of this virus as yet.
The army and police have been called in to help with the response in PNG. The police minister, Brian Kramer, says officers will be working alongside health teams.
The concern is if the rapid response team, currently made up of health department officers, were to go into communities like settlements or markets, that they would become the issues of their safety would be an issue of concern.
The PNG case is one of almost 40 now confirmed in the region. On the weekend, the first death was recorded, a 68-year-old woman in Guam. Papua New Guinea isn't alone in taking drastic action in response to a confirmed case. Most of the health systems here won't cope with a pandemic, and trying to stop it before it starts is seen as the best option. New Caledonia has four cases and is also going into lockdown.
Va exiger de tous beaucoup de discipline, de rigueur.
The French High Commissioner, Laurent Prevot, told a news conference the entire population is being ordered to stay inside for a fortnight. People will only be allowed out of their homes to buy food or go to medical appointments. Samoa and Tonga haven't recorded a case yet, but they've already declared national emergencies, a clear indication of the risks COVID-19 poses to these vulnerable nations.
That's our PNG correspondent, Natalie Whiting. That is AM for today. Thanks for your company. I'm Sabra Lane.
Hi, I'm Stephen Stockwell.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre, and we're from the ABC's daily news podcast, The Signal. When it comes to coronavirus, Australia is at a fork in the road, and we don't have long to choose. In one direction is total lockdown. In the other, it's the partial measures we've had up until now.
Today, what each option looks like, and the tens of thousands of lives that hang in the balance. Look for The Signal on the ABC Listen app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.